Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Morristown, Tennessee.
So I'm really excited to be here this morning. I'm sorry, I'm going to refer to some of my notes just because when I normally teach this class, I never get the opportunity to teach it to Christians or Latter-day Saints, so I've tweaked it a little bit. But the number one thing I want to ask everyone is, who here is really comfortable walking into a room and declaring who you are? Excellent. You're in the right class then. Okay. So, I was looking for Paul, actually, to stand up and say, Paul, are you ever comfortable walking into a room and declaring who you are? 100%. Okay, good. Why are you 100% comfortable? What's the number one factor that makes you comfortable?
Personal moments?
Yes.
I don't know if you're 15 or something, but there's one person in this world I have to impress, and one person up above I have to impress, and that's it. Perfect. Why? Is who I have to impress? So if I walk into a room and I honestly don't know anybody and I'm probably never going to see them again, I don't let their influence or their opinion sway my
own. Okay, fantastic. So his two reasons are he has to impress his wife and Heavenly Father. And then two, a lot of us say this, I'm never going to see these people again, so I don't have to, I don't care. I don't care what they think. So I'm going to say to you, if I go into a room and I used to do a lot of commercials, and I go into an audition and I say, okay, I have to sell this baby food, and say I'm a mom and my kid uses this baby food, it's not a big deal for me to walk in and say, hi, I'm Kristen Mortensen Tillinghast, and I really recommend XX baby food. Why? Because my baby loves it, my baby sleeps through the night, it makes my family happy, and I'm a happier mom. And they say, great, and I walk out. How much of that was actually me? Not very much, right? I'm selling a product. I have facts and figures and a whole script behind me. So I walk into the room and I seem very positive and I feel great. So something I want to share with you is that when we walk into a room, we don't always have that behind us. We don't know what we're carrying in, right? So if you have to give a talk or you go in for an interview, you have to bring you, but you still have your CV, you have your resume, you have your power suit on or your power outfit. How many people, I'm asking for a true show of hands, when you have to speak in church, or you have to go in for an interview, or you're going to a luncheon with people you don't know, how many people try and buy a new outfit? Anybody? Okay, I'll be honest. I do. I mean, this is not new, obviously, but because I feel pretty comfortable. But we try and hide behind things that don't really represent us. We hide behind clothing or facts or whatever it may be. So I want to share a story. This is my conversion story. I did not grow up in the church. I converted at the age of 37, which a lot of people are like, whoa, that's really old. And I'll be 51 in 2 weeks, so I guess that's kind of old. But I grew up performing. My whole life was working on stage, TV and film, and I would walk in and I'd be just like light up the room, or I'd be on stage, I'd feel so comfortable. But in my personal life, who I was never comfortable. I hid behind my talent, I hid behind my resume, I hid behind my characters. But the only role that I ever felt really comfortable in was playing Maria in The Sound of Music. I played that role 5 different times in 5 tours. I do love The Sound of Music, but what I really loved was that every time I got to play that role, I felt like I could really be me, not a governess, but I could share my love of God. Because in theater and film and the entertainment industry, it is not really cool to share your testimony of the Savior. It is not cool to share, yeah, before I did my Sunday matinee, I found whatever church is in whatever town I'm in that day. Your company doesn't want to hear it. Your stage manager is not interested why you are 2 minutes late to call because you had to drive an hour to find a church to go to Sunday morning. Your company doesn't want to hear that when they say, let's go drinking, and you're like, well, I can't. I wasn't even LDS at the time, but when you're a lead, they get really, really mad when you can't sing well because you're hungover, right? Not really cool. So my last time doing The Sound of Music, I wasn't even gonna do it. I got offered this role, and lo and behold, Heavenly Father said, I'm gonna make your director and your music director, your maestro, they're both LDS. So all during rehearsals, they were constantly talking to me about the church, and they were like, word of wisdom, and we don't do stuff, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, I don't do those things anyway. And it wasn't until I was on stage one day singing, and I was thinking about all the stuff they were telling me. Sorry. And it hit me that that was who I am. That is who I am. And all of these things that I'm portraying on stage as Maria just made sense to me because God was at the center of it. And so I'm so delighted to give this talk today from this perspective. Often when I give this talk, I have to really change the verbiage to go with the universe or whichever deity to which you subscribe or whatever the case may be. But today we get to really, really delve in. So the name of this class obviously is Lights, Camera, Testimony. So the first thing I want to talk about is the light of Christ and the light in your life. What is it, and this is an interactive class, so please feel free to answer questions. What is that light? What is the light for you? I know as I just shared, the light for me was that awareness that all of a sudden I knew who I was. I know that I am a daughter of Heavenly Father. I know that makes me royalty because I'm the daughter of a king. I know that because I go to the temple and I make these covenants, and every Sunday in sacrament I renew my covenants with Heavenly Father, that I am this woman who has made these promises with Heavenly Father, the Father of all of us. That is something to hold on to. So ever since I've been a member of the church, which is now over 13 years, just over 13, I walk into a room and I always say to people, they say, oh, who are you? Hi, I'm Kristen. I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Right after I was baptized, I probably said it to every single person I met. I was on a business trip with my husband, and he was laughing hysterically because he was like, you don't have to tell everybody. And I said, but I want to tell everybody. I want people to know. He was doing an Ironman in Lake Placid before I ever did Ironmans, and someone said to me, oh, tell me something about yourself. And I said, oh, I was just baptized 6 months ago in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they said, well, what makes your church different than other churches? And I said, well, we have a living prophet. One. And I named up all these things about the church, but the one thing I didn't always say was, you know what? What makes us different is that we are aware every single day that we are children of Heavenly Father. So all of a sudden, all this light I always felt when I was singing made so much more sense. So I ask you now, and you can write it down or you can share it with everyone, because I think sharing always helps to inspire others around us. What is that light for you? I knew that I felt that light every time I was on stage, or every time I was performing or singing. I was so happy. Is your light your gift? Evelyn, I'm going to put you on the hot seat. What is your light? Only because I know her.
Well, definitely it's, first of all, it's God, because your light's God, of course.
Let me put it this way. When you walk into a room and you tell people who you are, one, does anyone ever tell people who you are when you walk into a room? Like your name and then something about yourself? Or you just kind of meander in the room and wait for someone to talk to you?
Option two.
Okay. So I'm going to invite everyone to stop meandering because you are greater than that. Can you ever imagine me meandering into a room? Like, people who know me are like, she's so obnoxious. I'd be like, hi, who are you? What's your name? I'm Kristen. Who are you?
I'm Heather.
Heather, it's nice to meet you. Heather, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Me too.
You are fantastic. I sing for a living. That is my job. I'm in theater. What do you do?
I'm a bookkeeper.
A bookkeeper. Okay, math is not my thing, which is weird because I'm a musician. But still, how often do we do that? Do we walk into a room and just declare who we are? So I want to write down, what is that light for you? What is your light?
Not obnoxious,
it's
confident.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Self-deprecation is one of my things, so I'm trying to do that less. I have had people say it's obnoxious, but I think it's fun. Yes.
Can you rephrase the question? Are you asking what are you good at?
Well, it really depends on you. This is a personal question. So my light, I realized, was after I joined the church that it all meshed together. Talent meshed with testimony. My natural just joy of life really meshed with learning about the gospel. So it can be anything. What I'd like you to steer away from is, I feel confident when I have a brand new outfit on and I walk into a room. I feel confident when I've just been to the Clinique counter and had my makeup done, right? Or I just got my highlights done or whatever. Those are all superficial. I want to know, on a desert island, well, not in Tennessee, but I was just in St. George, Utah, and it felt like a desert because it was really hot and dry. On a desert island, what makes you you? What do you carry in your heart? Say you meet one other person who's been on the other side of the island and you didn't realize it. What do you carry with you to say to that person when you meet them? What is that thing? There is a light in all of us, and in theater we call it finding your hot spot. Does anyone know what the hot spot is on stage? It's not always center stage. Your clothes fall. When you have a spotlight, yes, and it makes a ring on the floor, where in that light do you want to be, do you think? You don't want to be center. You want to be at the very front of it so the light gets all of you. If you're in the center, it cuts off half of who you are. So when we say in theater, find your hot spot, that is the hottest spot. Not only is it warm, because you can feel the spotlight on you, but that is the hottest, the best place to be in that light. And I think of that in terms of Heavenly Father. Are we at the forefront of that light in our lives and knowing who we are? Or do we hide somewhere in the middle? So it gets kind of half of us, but not the other half. Or do we veer towards the back of the light, which makes a beautiful spotlight on your feet? We're not interested in feet in theater, ever, ever, ever. Feet are really unimportant, and yet the costume people spend so much on shoes. Not really important. So I want someone to share, if you feel comfortable, what is your light? It can be a talent, it can be the love you have for your kids, it can, whatever it is. I just took some, if I stole yours, I'm sorry. Anyone? Yes.
My light is definitely found in music. I sing and I love it, and I just connect with that.
Music, yes! Oh, a woman after my own heart, Katie's heart too. Music. I have always learned since I was little, my mother has passed away, but she always would say to me, music is prayer.
Yes.
Music is prayer. So when I walk into a room and I say, hi, I'm Kristen, who are you? Joey?
Jody,
it's nice to meet you. What is your light? Oh, I love this woman. Humor in everything. So I will admit, I have a really bad reflex. When people tell me sad things, I giggle. And not because I'm laughing at people, but because I'm like, that's terrible. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's trying to put humor with the sad, but I love that that is your light, that you find humor in everything. What's your name?
Carter.
Carter, I'm Kristen. What is your light? You don't know? I invite you by the time I'm done here to know what that is, to know what your light is, or at least have an idea, or steal someone else's until you know. We always say in theater, fake it till you make it, right? Steal someone's light. Does anyone else want to share their light? Anyone? Anyone? Yes! Being silly! Oh my gosh. What's your name?
Brielle.
Brielle? Oh, that's beautiful. I'm Kristen. Being silly is one of our favorite pastimes of our house. Like, literally, my husband and I have dance parties. We're very silly. We call our cats, he has a Greek name for all of our cats. Like, we're just ridiculous. So, and we bring that into conversation too when we talk to people. They'll say, do you have children? We say, no, we don't have children, but we have 6 cats. That is a lot of cats, I know. The Weber County Animal Shelter was having free cat month, and my husband went crazy. And that's why we have so many cats. And we do, we have a lot of cats. So you wanna think about what that light is for you as you walk into a room. So let's move on to the next thing. This is one of my favorites because people don't often think about this. The camera, lights, camera. So when you think of a camera, obviously, we think of taking pictures, yeah? But for someone who spent their life in front of a camera or in theater, I've always felt like I was in a fishbowl. Do you know a fishbowl? Like everyone can see it, like living in a glass house. When we moved to Utah, or I'm not from there, I'm from Los Angeles, but and our ward was like 2 blocks. I worked on in that movie, The Stepford Wives. I turned to my husband, I was like, I think I'm on set. I think I'm on the set of The Stepford Wives. Because everybody knew everything. They were like, hey, blah, blah, blah. I was like, oh, this is weird. Okay, but everything we do, someone is watching, someone is unfortunately judging, someone is comparing and despairing, someone is taking that as their total judgment of you and then sharing it with others. When we go on social media and we post things, that is a camera. That is a camera. When we text, even if we're texting just gossip to our BFF, that's still a camera. So I want you to think about the times in your life. If anything you do in front of your kids, anything you do in front of your friends. I have a calling now as Young Women's President, and I realize, I know that some of them are sitting here, everything I do, they are watching. They are aware. All the kids that I've worked with in my career, I've been hyper aware, because as a kid myself in the business, of watching the adults around me, seeing how they act, seeing what they do. Unfortunately, watching them cheat on spouses, watching them treat other people disrespectfully. Everything is a camera. Kids are a camera. So when you think about in your life, what camera are we not as aware of? What camera do we not always think about? What about our spouse? You know, my husband and I are best friends, which I love, but sometimes when I'm like in a bad mood and I'm raging about something, I think, what is that for him? And he never judges me. But I think, is that what I want to bring into this room with him? Is that what I want to present in front of this camera? If someone was filming me at that moment, would I be like, yes, Academy Award? Or I'd say, ooh, not a good look. And we all have bad days. And we all have moments. And that's fine. That's part of living, right? But what is that camera? I thought about this yesterday. I have a little midlife crisis convertible, and we name her Starfish. We like to be silly. Her name is Starfish. And I drove here the whole day yesterday, and I thought, and I was singing. I like had a full-on concert for 5 hours in my car. And all the people around me were like honking or like, you know, you're crazy. And I was like, yeah, good on ya. But what a fishbowl, right? What a camera. Everyone could see everything. So I want you to think for a second and share, because not everyone's going to think about it. What camera are we not aware of? Or do we not think about? Anyone? Thank you.
Very unaware of the, I tend to be more sensitive to anyone that's seeing me and is expected to like a negative camera, right?
Yes.
But I'm often very unaware of the positive camera that my kids see me through. Like I'll think that I have made, you know, a million and a half mistakes this week and my kids are probably like eye rolly and mom, I just don't even want to go anywhere with you. And when I talk to them about it, it's completely different. They don't see it that way at all. And they're like, no, we actually think you're pretty cool. We would love to go out to lunch with you. Or we would love for you to come to dance with us. Or whatever. And I tend to be a lot less aware, I find, of the positive lenses that other people see.
I love that. The positive lens people see us through and not the negative. I want to share an example, and I'm sorry, I'm going to sort of call out Katie for a moment. Katie's been working on her master's, very, very busy. We had just moved into the ward, and I just was called as Young Women's President, and I was talking to Evelyn and AJ, and I said, how's your mom doing? I know she's so busy with school and everything. And Katie had said to me, I know I'm like so busy, and I feel like they're not getting all the time, and like this really beautiful moment that we share, I'm sorry, I'm thinking totally public, I didn't even ask you ahead of time, and she was so, and I felt bad for her, because she was saying, I just feel like I'm not giving everything that I can, and yet talking to Evelyn and AJ, speaking of this positive camera lens, they said to me, our mom is so great. She's doing all this stuff. She's like going back to school, but we always have time with her. She's making us all our favorite meals. We totally feel loved. And I was like, is she stressed? And they're like, we don't know. Like, she's like such a good mom, and she's really like helping us out. And I think that really goes to my next point. How do we know when things land? Do we all know what it means to land? When like you see a comedian and they say a joke and it hits you square in the chest and you are howling on the floor. That's a joke that lands. What about when you're in a meeting or someone shares something with you that is touching and it you get that sting in your eyes, or you get a chill when you hear someone sing, or you see something that really touches you, that means that moment that has landed for you. That moment, speaking privately to Katie and then speaking to her kids, I realized that was a beautiful camera moment. How often are we not aware of the cameras around us, but we not aware of our own camera? What lens do we see ourselves through? Do we see ourselves through that light that we talked about earlier? Or do we say, well, I put on the light sometimes, but while I'm folding laundry, it's a pretty dim gray lens. I'll be honest, I do all the laundry in our house. My husband calls it the laundry fairy. No, it's me. And yeah. That stuff doesn't magically end up in your drawers, clean and folded. From Broadway to laundry. No, it's okay. But when he says that, and he opens the drawer, and he goes, he actually calls it the garment fairy. He says, the garment fairy was here. And it makes me laugh, but that moment lands for me. That is not a glamorous task. Who here has folded laundry forever? Right? And it doesn't seem like a glamorous task. But when I finally saw that act through that lens, now when I, that seems so stupid, but now when I fold laundry, I see it through my light lens. I'm like, this is a thing that is loving and kind, and I'm very particular, like how it's folded, and a little, you know, about that. So, what lens do you see yourselves through? Who here has ever been on TV? Okay. So when you, did you see yourselves? Oh, what was that like the first time? The first time you see yourself on TV?
Cool.
Did you think it was cool? Maybe it's just because I'm a woman. I was like, is that what my hair looked like? Why do they do that? I was on the Johnny Carson show. I don't know if anyone even remembers who that is. When I was 17, because I'd won a competition at the LA Music Center. And it was like late 80s, like 88, right? And the women in the hair department, my hair was like massive. And I have like little Swedish baby children hair. Like there's no hair here. I don't know how they did it. And I literally, beyond like the singing or the interview with Johnny or whatever, I was fixated on the way my hair looked and how embarrassing that was. That it was so big. And I remember my mom saying to me, "What do you care about that? Look at this experience you had. Look at this moment. You were 17. You got to sing on national television with Johnny Carson, who was very funny, speaking of humor. Very nice man. Came to my dressing room before the show started, introduced himself just like this. Hi, you're Kristen, I'm Johnny. It's nice to meet you, I'm so excited you're here. And I was like,
really?
You are? I think it's what came out of my mouth. He said, of course I am, and you're gonna sing for us today. I love music, I can't wait to hear you. And I was like, really? That's crazy. So, anyone else, have you ever heard your voice on a recording? Oh, now we're getting to it. So I have a bootleg recording of the Phantom of the Opera from one of my performances. I didn't listen to it for over 10 years. I was in the show for almost 3.5 years. When I left that show, first of all, I never wanted to hear that music again, but I didn't listen to that recording until I found it in a drawer 10 years later. And I gave it to my mom, and I was like, I don't want this. And she was like, what? You should listen to it. What did you think the first time you heard your voice on a recording? Yeah, it's like, what's her name? What's from Emperor's New Groove, Yzma. Is that nervous? Right? And she's like, yeah, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I sound like that. And very often I think, oh, I sound like a chipmunk. But that's the way it is, right? But look at that lens that you just said. Is that my voice? Is that what I sound like? That lens is dank and dark and sad. Not a good filter. But think of all the people, and it took my mom saying this to me, all the people who came to see the show, 3,000 people at a time, yeah, who came up to me afterwards and were like, thank you for singing. Thank you for performing. And admittedly, some of them came back way too often, and that's okay, and then followed me the rest of my life. But that was a little creepy. But on the other hand, I could look at that as creepy. None of them ever did anything. Well, some did some weird stuff. But I could look at it instead through the lens of, wow, maybe I don't sound like a chipmunk. Maybe when I sing, it sounds like something that makes people really happy. That's a very different lens. Very different camera. So we've talked about lights. Good. We're going to end a little early. Sorry. Not too early. We've talked about light, finding your light, knowing where your light is, the hot spots. We've talked about camera. Okay, now, Let's talk about our testimonies. How often do you change the lens of your life when you have to And I say that because I know a lot of people are like, yes, I have to bear my testimony. I was in a steak conference. We just had a huge brouhaha with our bishop, who was taken away by the FBI. And I was young women's president then, too. It was a lot of stuff, and we basically had steak conference a week later. So not only our steak, but our ward was in upheaval. It was quite bad. And trying to talk to parents and all of this. So we're sitting there in state conference, and the president of our stake, we had gone to the same junior high in Los Angeles. Like, so random. This was in Utah. And I couldn't believe it. When I went for my temple recommend, he was like, oh, I went to Tull Junior High. And I was like, I went there too. And we were like there at the same time. So I'm sitting there, and everyone's in upheaval, and it's been like emotionally draining. And out of nowhere, the Spirit says to me, you better get ready. You better put your head up, because I had my head down. And I thought, why? And we made eye contact, and wouldn't you know, 3 minutes later, Sister Tilling House, will you please bear your testimony? What? No warning, no nothing. Okay. I did. I changed my lens, because my lens had been, everything is bad. Everything is really messed up right now. We're going through a very difficult period as a ward family, as a stake family, as our young women. So as I got up there, I thought, wait a minute, find your light. Find your light. And the Spirit came out of me. I mean, I said things I didn't even know. But it was so interesting how just a flip of the switch, I could change. And I think, how often do we not do that? Because we think flipping that switch is going to be too hard. Or it's going to sound inauthentic. Or it's going to be weird to walk up to a stranger in the market who says, I really like your shoes. And you're like, oh, thanks. And you have a little talk. And it's like, hey, do you go to church? You're already at zero. What do they say in marketing, Paul? It's on cold calls. You're already at zero. So you have nothing to lose. So I'm going to invite you, as you think about lights, camera, testimony, and we talk about our testimonies here, what do you have to lose by changing that lens and sharing your light with a flip of a switch to someone you don't know? What do we have to lose? I'm guessing nothing, because no one's raising their hand. We might have people think we're, I don't know, silly. We might have people think we're obnoxious. We might have people think, you know, we sound like chipmunks. I don't know. Whatever it is. So I want you to take a moment, and if you're writing anything down, or just think about it, or put it in your phone, what is your most basic, what's the most basic part of your testimony? Like four words, or one sentence. What is that for you? Say that one more time.
I am a child of God.
I am a child of God. Six words. Fantastic. Anyone else? Jesus loves me. That's a great one. I always love too. Jesus loves you. I grew up in Los Angeles, where you go to the airport, and I used to love the Hare Krishnas. I loved them. My mom was like, no, and I'd be like, hi, I love your outfit. What's going on? And my mom's like, why are you like that, even as a child? And I think, why don't we do that now? Why, if we're children of God, do we not run up to people and say, I'm a child of God. Jesus loves you. I love your outfit. You know, whatever it is. So I want you to really think about what that is. And if anyone else wants to share, because then you inspire other people, what's a very short sentence about your testimony?
God has an important role for me on the earth.
God has an important role for me on the earth. I love that. God has an important role for me on the earth. Yes.
It's
going to
be okay.
It's going to be okay.
How often do we not even realize we're so fixated on our own camera and how we're appearing in our own lens? Do we even notice the lens of other people? What's going on with them? That maybe how they're seeing themselves in that moment is bleak. A really, really dark filter. It's gonna be okay. Do you know that if you looked around and you saw someone, I was in Walmart, there was a woman staring at the shelves and I said, do you need some help? And she's like, well, I hurt my back and I really want that thing on the top shelf, but I can't get it and I'm barely 5'4". I'm like crawling on the thing. I don't care, I'll do it. I have no problem with that, obviously. And I grabbed it, I grabbed a couple because some fell on my head. But anyway, that was just another part of the story. Humor, right? Gotta tell the joke. And I said, is everything else okay? And she goes, I've been waiting for someone to come and help me get this thing down. Of course, I didn't do it very gracefully, but it still worked. And in that moment, I finally saw her. And I think because I saw her, her lens changed. And that moment landed. It landed. I'm going to ask you today, how many times when you speak to people will it actually land? We always say that the eyes are the windows of the soul, right? That's so poetic, so lovely. I'm sure someone's used that line on me before. But windows of the soul. How often when we talk to people, do we look them square in the eye and see, as I'm looking at you?
No, that's what I tell my daughter.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I do that all the time. It makes people very uncomfortable. When people are talking to me, I'll be like, yes. Uh-huh. Got it. Okay. And I think even though they're uncomfortable, I let it go for a little bit. Because I think I'd rather walk away and have them say, you know, she looked me square in the eye the entire time. Yes, because I wanted to see your soul. I wanted to know you. Is that part of a testimony? When we say, when we renew our covenants on Sundays and we say, I stand as a witness of God and of the Savior, do we then look at people and say, I'm going to look at you the way the Savior looks at you? I love when I think about Lights, Camera, Testimony. I think, gosh, I would love to see the way I look through the Savior of the lens. The Savior's lens. It came out weird. Like, wouldn't that be so amazing? Can you imagine? If I heard my voice, I would never once say, oh, I sound like a chipmunk. If I saw myself on camera, I'd never say, oh, my hair. Ugh. I always think of that part in Harry Potter where Hermione sees the back of her head. She goes, oh, is that what my hair looks like back there? I was like, yes, I get that. Can you imagine if we did that with everyone we see? If we knew where our light was, where the hot spot is, with everyone we talk to. If we thought about the camera that we're seeing them through or seeing ourselves through, and then we shared our testimony. And your testimony doesn't have to even say anything. It can be as simple as, how are you? You know what? Every time I see you, I love your hair. It's beautiful. You always look beautiful. I mean, I know she has a lot of kids, and I don't know how she does it, actually. You have a great smile. I've seen you before. I saw you at Trek, I think. Did I not? You look familiar. Well, you look familiar enough for me to want to walk up to you and say you look familiar. That's still someone taking the time to want to walk up to you. There's so many things that we can do. So I'm going to invite everyone, if there's anyone in this room you don't know, and this is going to make you so uncomfortable, and I know that. I teach a lot of master classes, a lot of uncomfortable kids. It's just part of the gig, right? So everyone stand up, since we've all had time to wake up, we've all digested breakfast. Okay, now you're going to walk around to someone you don't know, And you're going to walk up to them. I know Sam, but I don't know. Who I don't know a lot of people. I don't know you as well. Hi, what's your name? Mady. Oh, that's beautiful. Mady, I'm Kristen.
Good.
It's nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
How are you?
I'm well.
Good. 2 minutes. Awesome. This is it. Ah, okay, everyone. This is awesome. Now that you're all talking, I can't get you to stop. Okay, so we're going to wrap up. That was amazing. So that's what I think heaven's going to look like, by the way. So I want to just conclude by saying I really invite all of you to ponder on this a little bit more. It comes from a place of entertainment, but it has totally morphed. I love what Katie said. There's a work for us to do. When I retired from performing, I thought, geez, I don't know. And then my friends were like, and now you're Mormon? Ooh, like what's going to happen? I am so happy with this second phase of my life. And I really want you to think about, what is the light in your life? What are the camera lenses you see yourself and others through? And how often are you sharing your testimony? And I invite all of you to never, ever, ever meander into a room again. You're far greater than that. Thank you for being here this morning. And I'm not singing today. No, it's not slated. I'm sorry. We're done. Go away. Get out. No, I'm just kidding. All right, thank you, everyone.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.